You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
You know, if I were to ask a lot of our listeners today what your daily routine is like, you know, many of us are going to just say that we just go through the motions of life. We jump out of bed, take a quick Navy shower, and if you're lucky, you get to eat a banana in the car on the way to work. And then, of course, again, eating lunch on the run, come home, and crash falling asleep in front of the TV and basically do it all again the next day. Then we wonder why we suffer from the poor health, lack of joy and purpose. In this newly released book, Ask Dr. Nandy, 5 Steps to Becoming Your Own Health Hero for Longevity, Well-Being, and a Joyful Life. Now, Dr. Partha Nandy dives into his 5-pillar prescription, a groundbreaking integration of proven holistic solutions and miraculous modern medicine that can dramatically improve your life and the lives of your family members. His mission is to empower the world to be your own health hero. Now, aside from being the creator and host of the talk show Ask Dr. Nandy, he also serves as a chief health editor at WXYZ-TV in Detroit. Great to have you here with us, Dr. Nandy.
How are you?
I'm really good. Really happy to have you. And just a couple of segments ago, we were just saying how we met each other at the most recent Consumer Health Summit we were both attending for some of the top doctors and health influencers in the world. That was really awesome and really excited
cool.
to have you here today. What inspired you to write this book?
You know, I'll tell you that I had a couple events in my life that happened that really shaped me. So I was about 6 years old, I think, 6 years old, I was in India. I was born in India, and I was 6, and at that time, I had a disease called rheumatic heart disease. And many of your listeners may know what that is, and that's a disease that can affect your heart and affect your whole body, and I almost died. And during that time, my parents really went above and beyond, became a true advocate for me, and I call them, now I understand, their health heroes, and a pediatrician who literally saved my life. So, you know, I didn't quite know what was going on, but that led to my path in medicine, and I, you know, became a physician, practiced medicine for about 10 years, and then about 9 years ago, my dad had a stroke, a really, really pretty, you know, gigantic stroke, one that disabled him, and I really thought I was a good doc and knew how to take care of patients. What I realized was there's a lot I needed to learn from the other side. I became a caregiver. I became a patient advocate because I would spend the nights with my dad in the hospital, in the nursing home, rehab, and all the stuff I learned was unbelievable. So I said to myself, we've got to be able to teach people not just about medicine, but really the other side, about what patients feel and how caregivers feel and what can I do. And how can we do that, you know, besides just having tragedy? And you and I know when faced with adversity and when there's a gigantic challenge in front of you, a lot of people just kind of buckle up and just, you know, they circle the wagons and they get it done. How can we do that before? So how do you pay your health forward? And that was the beginning of the health hero movement, I call it. So, you know, we got our communities together and have them understand what it is. And we started small in Detroit. I started a television show with the help of course, other people that really were better at that than I was. And we started a television show, created it and produced it in one station, and now we're in 220 million homes in the world. So, you know, we learned how to be able to communicate this whole idea that I learned from way back when I was 6 years old. I'll tell you, when I was 6, they were so desperate, my parents, they went to any doctor they could find, including Eastern doctors. I was covered in garlic for an entire day as a little boy because Ayurvedic doctors said you should do that. Then I was covered in mustard oil. So I learned, you know, the skills I learned back then and through my practice in medicine and through my journey of being a caregiver, advocate for my dad, that's what really led me to start my television show, Ask Dr. Nandy, as well as the book, Ask Dr. Nandy, as you talked about. So I'm really proud of it. It's kind of my life's work and what I ask my patients and my family to do and my community.
Oh, that's great. You know, in my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, I actually ask people to be your own allergy detective. You're basically saying, you know, you can be proactive with your life, do the best you can so you can live longer and, of course, live a better and the best life you can. And it's so inspirational. I really look forward to go diving deep into all of that. I know it's a brand new book. You go into these 5 steps. You know, I'd really like for us to, I know we don't have all the time, but I'd like you just to give us your 5 steps, what we can do and what to look forward to.
And you said it really the best. It said, you know, it's really about advocating for yourself. You know, there was a statement by Aristotle way back when. It says, not life, but good life is to really be valued. And it doesn't mean that if you don't have a great life, you shouldn't value it. But, you know, I want people to not just live or survive or just exist, but thrive. And so how can we have longevity, well-being, and a joyful life? That's the title of the book, right? So ask Dr. Zendi 5 steps to becoming your own healthier for longevity, well-being, and a joyful life. And so what I say in the beginning, and this is how I've lived my life, is that you have to have some purpose. So we, you know, and just like you, I'm sure, super busy, always trying to juggle a lot of things. But what keeps me going, what gets me not just crawl out of bed, but jump out of bed, is that I have a sense of purpose. And I think that's the key to any goal you have, whether it's having a healthy weight, whether it's getting, you know, purpose in my life, purpose in your job or what you're doing. You have to have a goal and a purpose. So that's the first prescription I give people. And it's not easy. It just seems like, oh, great, you know, that's a no-brainer. It really is a big brainer, I call it, because you have to really search within yourself and say, what do you want to do to make that better? And then after you achieve purpose, then you can then go on to have mindful eating, and you can have purposeful movement. So it's not just, I'm going to go on a diet, lose 10 pounds so I can get in this bikini or I can look good in this shirt. Whatever it is, you know, that's a transient feeling. For me, the reason why I want to, you know, not have red meat and eat a bunch of Fritos every single day is because I not only want myself to do well, but I want to be able to see my kids graduate from college. I want my grandkids to see them graduate through college. I want to be able to thrive in their environment. I can't do that if I don't eat with purpose and I don't eat mindfully. Same thing with movement, right? So I think if you just go on these crazy fad things, you know, you want to go on this, you know, kick of going into, I want to work out, you know, 7 days a week, you know, 4 hours a day or whatever it is that's extreme, and then try to get to that, and I want to be able to, you know, get my big muscles. That doesn't pan out in studies and research. And what happens is that when you have purposeful movement that really is backing up your purpose and why you're doing something, that's when it's effective. When you've conquered that, I also, in my book, I talk about the fourth prescription, which is mindfulness, having yoga, cultivating your mind, cultivating the powers that you have beyond your physical ability. So, you know, how do you then, one of the biggest problems in Western society, actually all of society, is what? That your mind and your body is completely stressed. So how do you then cultivate your mind to decrease that? And whether it's prayer, whether it's some sort of spirituality, whether it's yoga, whether it's, you know, mindfulness meditation, heartfulness meditation, you know, we give you the how. How do you do that so that you can actually do what I did? In the Detroit Police Department, we actually took a mobile meditation unit, and we had them, you know, kicking and screaming, sort of, go in there. And what happened was their heart rate, blood pressure went down, their stress level went down. They went there because their superiors told them that, you know, this is probably a good idea. But what happened was their stress level actually decreased. And over time, it even was decreased, the numbers. So blood pressure, the heart rate was actually decreased even when they're not doing the exercise. So, you know, that really works in all walks of life. It doesn't have to be some crazy potion or something you have to go out and, you know, sit cross-legged on a mountain in Tibet. It can just be doing it in your house. The last one is, and it's really important for me, was tribe. When you put it all together, then you have your tribe. Anything that I've done in my life, when I've had a tribe with me, it's always been successful. And living, you know, an amazing life with a wellness is no exception. And so that's my last prescription. And what I do is, in the book, give the description of really how you do that, because it all sounds great. Everybody kind of knows that you're supposed to eat well and do this kind of thing. But the how is really key. So we give recipes, we give you know, workbooks to really find out how you are able to do this. And the last thing I'll say is that with these prescriptions, I have, you know, science-based data that really shows objectively that you can actually do better. Not just that I've done it, my patients have done it, my family's done it, but now science has backed it up. One quick example, you know, when you have a purposeful life, your rates of dementia are significantly decreased. I mean, like almost 30%. And studies have shown you can live an average of 7 years longer if you have a purposeful life. That's huge. I mean, that's more than probably 50-60% of the medicines we take. So that's what I want people to have an idea of. This is what you need to do, and I describe how you do it, and you can do it simply and easily. And to me, it's important that it's simple. The book is written in 8th or 9th grade language so that everybody can really, you know, understand it and really take hold of it. And then what they can do is those simple, small changes can lead to big results. So that's what I'm really prescribing in my book.
You know, I'm a big believer of small steps to get you the value of what you really want. But I want to go back to something that I think is super important that you've actually made a note of. And of course, it's one of your five steps. And it's about purpose. You know, people often come into my office and they're actually suffering from the fact that they don't know what their purpose is. And they question and they ask me and I give them guidance and coach them. And I find that one of the easiest ways for me to share with them how they can find out about their purpose is what exactly makes you happy and passionate and excited. And it might not be their job, actually. It might be they want to play guitar, or they want to sing, or they want to just hang out with their animals. I mean, to me, that can also be part of your purpose. You don't have to have some big aha, you know, purposeful thing that someone's going to say, oh my God, that's like an amazing feat. But you understand what I mean, Dr. Nandy? I think your purpose is not just about one big thing you've got to do for the world. You know, purpose is about living your life to the fullest and loving your life, What do you think?
I totally agree. You know, it could be anything you want to do that, and you said it, that makes you happy. It doesn't have to be that you have to, you know, be an astronaut or whatever it is. You know, it doesn't have to be anything else except small goals. A friend of mine, Dr. Michelle Robin, she's in Kansas City, and she had a really cool tip. She said, what I do is at the end of the day, I ask my patients, when she sees them, I want to have a wall and say, what makes me smile? I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, what makes me smile and what doesn't make me smile? Write those things down every single day and write it down. And as you mentioned, it could be small things during the day that you do that really make you happy, give you some sense of purpose. And so, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be a monumental task. But what happens is when you do things that actually make you happy, then the killers to me, which is cortisol and ACTH, they're decreased. That's how the medicine comes in. Because we all kind of know that, hey, you know, if you feel good, you do better. But what is it that's going on physiologically? What is going on in your body? The cortisol level goes down, the ACTH goes down, and on a microscopic level, on levels we can't see, the fight or flight response is then decreased. So if your fight or flight response is decreased, then on a microscopic level, all the problems that you see in society, the biggest killers, are decreased. And that's why it's so important. That's what's important. It's just amazing. You know, when I was in New York City yesterday, same questions came up as if I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, or Dubai. It's amazing how small our world is, that people are talking about the same thing. People are all looking for a sense of purpose. Whether you have a seven-figure income or you're barely getting by, you know, if you don't have a sense of purpose, a sense of that you're doing something that you think you want to do, it doesn't matter. You're empty. And so it doesn't really matter where you're from or what you do. It's such a key. That's why I think it's a universal trait. If we can master some of this, I think it really leads to huge, huge benefits for all of us.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Nandy. You know, that's the first step of becoming your own health hero for longevity, well-being, and joyful life. Now, you mentioned earlier also about how stress, you know, when you can meditate, and you used an example of you taking a mobile meditation unit to the local police station. Is that right? Police station?
Yes, in Detroit.
Yeah, and, you know, I myself, Dr. Nandy, I track my heart rate and blood pressure regularly because I actually have a wearable unit that I wear. It's called Hilo LX, and I got it at the HiloStar.com website. And this unit actually gives me real-time heart rate and blood pressure, and I found out some very interesting things. I found out that my heart rate runs way too high during the day. And it tells me about my mood, and my mood is always excited. And then, of course, my blood pressure is on the little high, not high end, as in, because I naturally, at a resting heart rate, have a low blood pressure, like about 110 over 70. But when I'm doing my thing and I'm with my patients, because it tracks me automatically, I run at a little higher end, you know, on the higher end, the 120s. And over the 80s, which is the diastolic. So what I did was I started meditating and doing more mindful, which means I'm listening to some verbal cues on a audio. I also do parasympathetic tone exercises now, where I'm laughing deeply and I'm gargling with water really deep into my throat. And I'm telling you, it's changed. It's changed my heart rate. It's changed my blood pressure. And getting the real time is so important. People don't realize, you know, we go to the doctor once a year and get our heart rate and blood pressure checked. But I think if you got more self-monitoring, which is what you're all about, you know, working on your own health hero, if you can self-monitor right away, you'll know where you are at with your stress level, with your blood pressure, heart rate, and all.
Absolutely, you know, and congratulations on doing that. A lot of people, you know, don't. The thing is about us as, you know, healthcare providers and caregivers, sometimes we don't, you know, take our own medicine, and that's amazing that you're doing that. So a lot of us say, you know, we're going to do this, but we don't. I struggle with, for example, trying to get as much sleep as I tell my patients, and I don't do a good job, and I'm doing my best. But you're finding out what your problem is, and with the resting heart rate that's increased, that is not a good sign for your cardiovascular system. So you're absolutely right. Meditation's amazing, and I often tell people that if meditation could be put in a pill, it'd be the best selling drug ever made, because the same stuff. So you know, when I'm taking care of patients, sometimes their chief complaint, you know, when they come in, they say, "Doc, I just need a Xanax." That's the first thing they tell me. They don't even tell me what's going on with them. So I break it down for them. I say, listen, why are you taking the Xanax? And then they tell me whatever problem they're having. And I tell them, you know, if you can just give me 5 minutes of meditation, you'd be amazed at what can happen. And people have all these preconceived notions of what meditation is, that you have to remove every thought in your brain and all this kind of stuff. And it's really not that. You just have to get in a quiet room, get in your place, and concentrate on trying to just relax yourself and relax your mind. I mean, you know, the thing is that when you do that, you then are taking away some of the thoughts that you have of having stress and agitation. When you do that, then all of the hormones that increase your heart rate, increase your stress, have gone and are decreased. I shouldn't say gone, they're decreased, because you can't get rid of them completely. And you can then concentrate more. You can help. It helps you focus on other things in your life. Not only, people say, well, I'm healthy, I don't have an increased heart rate. I say, well, you know what it does is it helps you to achieve what you're trying to do. It increases self-awareness. It increases what you're doing. So, you know, people say, well, you know, sometimes you get kind of angry. It helps you. And studies have shown that it actually helps you become self-aware. So, you know, it has so many health benefits, but even when you're in health, when you don't have any health problems, it can, you know, reap so many other benefits as well. And then finally, it can pay you forward. So, you know, when you're young and healthy, or even older and healthy, you just say, well, why should I be doing this stuff? Because what happens is that you treat your body well now. What's going to happen in the future is that it's going to help it reward you. Studies have even shown that it decreases aging. It changes brain physiology. And in all the stuff that, you know, helps you with cognition, the stuff that helps you remain, you know, hang around just persisting, but thriving, it helps. Heart health, immunity, all these things are decreased, and infections are decreased, and your heart health is increased when you practice meditation. But again, I don't want people to just be stuck on meditation. If you don't want to meditate, prayer is awesome as well. If you just like to walk in the garden, walk on the beach, the idea behind spirituality is that you go outside of yourself and you realize, you know, that you're part of this amazing environment. So that's the whole key. And so if meditation works to me, it's an amazing technique, and anybody can do it. But if meditation's not your thing, hey, you know what? Whatever works better for you, let's do it. But let's do something. And that's what I talk in my book. I give various examples of how you're able to really make a difference in your life. And it doesn't have to be one size does not fit all. In fact, we're actually doing a challenge right now where we're following five people with different problems, and they read the book. I also have a master class. And, you know, when you read the book in the masterclass, you know, you can come up with some solutions. So I'm excited to see it's been a week and a half. I'm excited to see what's going to happen at the end of the 5 weeks.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you talked about looking at other forms of meditation or ways that you just can connect yourself to within. I do it a lot with nature. I'm a big believer in nature bathing. I know that for me, going down, I have a small place in Mexico, La Paz, Mexico, and I go there 5 days a month, and which is a lot, you know, when you think about it, but it's really what connects me to my own spirit. And that's where I can connect with the ocean, go swimming, you know, and that really makes a big difference. I'd say that's actually my best meditation. And one day, Dr. Nandy, I want to live there, you know, 24/7 and be able to be in that so that I can rejuvenate my body. So hey, everyone out there listening, you got to know that just find your place, find your space, find the type of meditation or connectedness, mindfulness that you can create so that you can extend your longevity. You can have that life extension. You can be that, have that joyful, purposeful life, which is awesome. I wanted to ask you, where can we get your book?
Absolutely. So if you, you can go on our website at AskDrNandy.com, and I'll go on it right now. So I love it when I can do that, so I can show you what I do. And you go to AskDrNandy.com, and you just say the book, and there's a subsection called the book, and it'll direct you right where you can buy the book. And right now, for people who want to buy it, before it's released on September 12th, we give you some extra goodies and you know, specials that we're giving right now before the book is released. So I encourage all your listeners to go right to AskDrNandy.com, and you'll see, just click on Dr. Nandy's book, and all those details will be right there.
Great. Ask Dr. Nandy, and that's AskDrNandy.com. I took a look at your website. So much information. There's such valuable. And the fact that you're on TEDx and a lot of videos, really personable person to follow, Dr. Nandy. I'm so glad that we got to share all this. Can you tell us one more thing, just one more strategy that people can you can share with our people today listening? What can they do right now to be able to feel that they are becoming their own health hero?
Well, absolutely. What I tell my patients is that just give me 5 minutes, they'll change your number. So I want you to pick one of the five pillars we talked about, one of the five prescriptions, which is purpose. Try to eat mindfully, move with purpose, create cultivation of your mind, or a tribe. Do one exercise for 5 minutes. If it's your tribe, go meet somebody new to really add to your whole group that really supports you. Or just maybe take a walk for 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes of one of those five pillars right now, and you'll be surprised at the change you can make in just 5 minutes. And you'll see you can add to that every day. But just 5 minutes today, I think it'll make a big difference in your life, I promise.
Oh, great, great strategies. I'm actually, right after we're done here, I'm going to be cultivating my tribe. I'm hanging out with one of my dear friends, Wendy Myers. and we're going to be having lunch together. So I so appreciate having you here, Dr. Nandy. The book is called Ask Dr. Nandy, 5 Steps to Becoming Your Own Health Hero for Longevity, Well-Being, and a Joyful Life. You can get it at AskDrNandy.com. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.